Hello, hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Matrix Assassins. This is going to be episode 37. And if you're in your car, I hope you're wearing a seatbelt. If not, it's time to buckle the F up because this episode that we just recorded with Dr. Chris Walton is epic. This is your host, or I'm your host, Velo. And we have the most beautiful, talented, smart co-host,
Nicole.
And as I was just talking about, we just wrapped up a really awesome episode with Dr. Chris Walton. If you haven't listened to the first episode that we recorded with him, go check out episode 13. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And this episode is so... Oh man, it's so good. We went on a journey through all of his, not all of his 35 ayahuasca trips, but we really got into his four ayahuasca trips. And it's just, it's such a mind-boggling, mind-shattering episode that you guys are really going to love.
Yeah. And he's really great at telling the story. It kind of feels like you can place yourself right where he is while he's like explaining the experience. So it's really awesome. If you've ever been curious about what that type of experience is like, you'll definitely get a really good idea after listening to these four stories.
Not gonna lie, I'm one click away to purchasing my my ticket to Peru after that one.
That's the one that did it?
That's the one that did it. And a couple of housekeeping items. If you guys want to head over to www.matrixassassins.com, you can buy our merch there. We are also in the process of creating our spring capsule collection. So watch out for that. It's going to be epic. AF. And if you want to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review. The reviews really help us out a lot as well. Nicole, do you want to talk about Blue Shield?
Yeah, absolutely. This episode is brought to you by Blue Shield. Blue Shield is an awesome EMF technology that helps protect yourself, whether you're in your home because they have home devices, or whether you're on the go with the portable devices or even the auto device. You can have one in your car if you're traveling and out and about a lot. I am still just blown away by what I've experienced since getting my home device and portable device. I just feel a completely different shift in my overall state of mind, well-being, just complete like reduction in anxiety, which a lot of our listeners know I've struggled with forever. So that's just been great. And I just wanted to plug them real quick. We'll have a link to them in our show notes, and it's also included on my Instagram account and in the highlights.
Yes, I was just about to, you read my mind. I was just about to say that if you guys want to head over to Nicole's Instagram account, what is it? It's at Matrix Assassin Nicole.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You guys can check out her EMF highlights. You can also go to, what is the antenna search? AntennaSearch.com?
Oh, yeah. So if you want to see like how inundated you are by towers and, you know, just the, all the EMF that's surrounding where your actual location is, you can go to AntennaSearch.com, type in either your city or your exact address, and you'll get to see what's around and kind of see like what level of device or technology would be best for your current situation.
So the link will be in our show notes, and that's how much percent off for our listeners? Is it 15?
I think it's 15.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. 15% off. Check out the link in our show notes. And with that said, Nicole, are you ready to exit the simulation?
I am.
Let's go. Oh, wait, are we even recording?
Yeah, it says recording.
Oh.
We have temperatures right now in the 60s.
This bag right here.
You don't have to.
Welcome
to
Matrix Assassins.
Two real girls in a simulated world.
Welcome to another episode of Matrix Assassins. Chris Walton is internationally recognized as an expert in personal change and peak performance. From over 30 years of research and exploration, Chris has created a cutting-edge system to optimize the mind and body to maximize energy, resilience, performance, and success. This resulted in a breakthrough in personal change, the Gamma Mindset. The Gamma Mindset creates a unique brain state in just 60 seconds. This allows you to make rapid and profound changes to your self-belief, thinking patterns, and emotional reactions, and gets all of you moving in the right direction with clarity, confidence, and purpose. We had him on in episode 13, and he's back into the game. Dr. Chris Walton, thank you so much.
Oh, wow. What an amazing intro. Well, it's a pleasure. I really enjoyed the first conversation we had, and I'm very much looking forward to this one. So thanks for inviting me back.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, if you want to learn about the Gamma Mindset and Dr. Walton's time at the Monroe Institute, go back and listen to episode 13. We decided that we had to do a part two. Dr. Walton, I mean this sincerely. The first episode that we recorded blew my mind. I had the most fun recording it. It was such a profound experience. And so we really wanted to bring you back on to discuss all of your immense psychedelic experiences with various plant medicines. And, you know, as we were chanting offline, Mama Aya is in the building, baby. Her spirit
she
is
She certainly
here.
Is. Yeah. Excellent.
So I guess to start us off, the first question that we have is about how many plant medicines have you utilized? And then once you kind of think of that, can you name them and approximately maybe how many times you've used them each?
Okay, yes, I can. I'll tell you what, let me just preface, if I may, preface this just for your listeners by saying my explorations into altered states of consciousness have been broad and deep and wide in many, many ways, which we'll share today, but they have been part of a developmental program. Apart from my early days of raving acid and ecstasy in the very late 80s and early 90s, when I, you know, got my things together and everything in a professional capacity, my explorations into altered states of consciousness have been very much about exploring consciousness, understanding myself, understanding what consciousness is, to better myself as a human being, not just to take loads of drugs to have a trip and see what happens. So I just want to preface it with that. It is in a context of personal development, personal growth, spiritual growth. And also I want to preface it with, you know, with these things, people, what do I want to say here? I want to say with all plant medicines and all things that are altered can give you altered states of consciousness, just be responsible and conscious with what you're doing, because, you know, it's very easy to, think they're the magic wand of life and just end up three, you know, just doing a lot of stuff and not really getting anywhere. So be very, very responsible. Do your research, do your homework, and before you delve in. That's I just wanted to preface it with that, if I may, you know.
Oh, for sure. We definitely need a disclaimer. 100%.
now that being said, let's get the gloves off and get into it, shall we? Yeah. Anyway, okay, so to your question. Okay. All right. So to be specific to answer your question, I've done more ayahuasca than anything else. I've done 35 ceremonies of ayahuasca, which took place from 2003 to 2020. So about 16, 17 year period where I did 35 ceremonies. I was in Brazil twice, Peru, Holland, Sweden, Denmark, the UK, all over the place. And that's some of that stuff we can cover today. Mm-hmm. I've done Iboga, which is not such a well-known one. Iboga is the bark of a tree from an area in Africa called the Gabon area. And it's a bark of a tree called Iboga. And that's an interesting one, which maybe we'll cover today. I've done two lots of ceremonies. Each one with 3 days. So two lots of ceremonies of those. I wouldn't do that again. I've done psilocybin, mushrooms, and some wonderful stories about that, because I've got a great story from each end of the spectrum. A very, very small dose and one of the most beautiful experiences I've had, to an absolutely whopping dose, which was just, oh man, I'm not actually sure I've ever come back from that dose yet. So, you know, so that's it. So ayahuasca, iboga, psilocybin. I haven't done any of the cactuses. I've never felt drawn to the cacti type of stuff. I've done DMT, but I don't class that as a plant medicine. You know, I don't know whether I've done anything else. I'm trying to remember. No, I don't think so. Ayahuasca has been my main teacher, I suppose you could say, or healer, or guide, or you know, three that I've delved into: ayahuasca, iboga, psilocybin, DMT, but not a medicine. And then many other forms of altered state of consciousness work. You know, isolation tanks and that sort. You know, sensory deprivation tanks and 4 days in silent darkness and stuff like that. You know, it's all sorts of wild and wacky.
That's crazy. I remember I like have this vivid memory of you being like eight grams of psilocybin in silent darkness. I'm like, wow, that is the most heavy duty shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's funny. Funnily enough, the guy that I did that with is a Latvian friend of mine called Maris. This is the sort of dude he is, right? So he's one, out of all my friends, he was the only guy that I thought was hardcore enough to do it. The only ones that would probably want to do it, but also robust enough mentally to do it, you know, so just in case you lose the plot. You've got to get yourself back, you know? So anyway, I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's to some sort of level of physical life, you know? But I heard from him recently. We haven't heard for years and years. And he's living out for the last 2 years while we've had the whole COVID thing. He built himself a little wooden house in the middle of nowhere in Latvia, built himself a, what do you call it? One of those flotation tanks. And he's been basically six to 7 hours a day of meditating in the flotation tank.
That is so awesome.
In the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Latvia, he's like, mate, he said, I'm just meditating all the way through it and I'll come out when it's done.
That is, oh my gosh, that's admirable. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, that's my psilocybin mate, Maris. Yeah, he's fantastic. Anyway, did that answer your question?
We wanted to kind of get the range of the different varieties and then we can start like touching on each one and maybe like the range of experiences that have come along with them.
Yeah. Okay.
So I want to know what, if somebody was listening to this for the first time and they haven't done ayahuasca, like what are some things to prepare someone to start utilizing plant medicine, or if they're feeling called to do it, like how does someone start?
Yes. Once again, a very good question. Very, very good question. Yeah. Okay. It is good. There's a few ways to think about that. Part of me thinks, hey, you know, plant medicines find you. And that's certainly been my experience and my experience with a lot of people that I know that have gone down that path. And so part of me thinks, you know, if plant medicines are going to find you, then they know what you want and they'll guide you. And so you probably don't need any prep, you know, just be open-hearted and, you know, well, I say you don't need any prep, but actually being open-hearted is probably as big a prep as you can get, isn't it? But yeah, I guess actually now, as I'm thinking it out loud, you know, being open-hearted and not closed mind and just, you know, open to what the plants got for you and the messages and all the rest of it. I think that's probably the biggest thing, actually, is being open-hearted and an open mind and perhaps not have any expectation. Is a good one. Not having it, especially by the time we finish this chat, if we go into my more extreme experiences, I never had any expectations for any of those or anything. So to, you know, it's, ayahuasca has got popular now. And I think, you know, you got all sorts of people after four sessions are calling themselves a shaman and setting up little groups here and there, you know? So as always, you got to be careful who you do it with, make sure that the people you're doing it with are sane of mind and credible and safe. Number one priority is safety, and where you are, you feel safe. You know, that's absolutely number one essential. The people you're going to do that stuff with, you feel safe with and, you know, secure, and the place that you're actually at, safe and secure. So that's that. And then an open mind and an open heart to, and no expectation. Those are the things that I think are really important. Yeah.
So you kind of just touched on all of the extreme experiences. Let's just dive in.
Yeah,
let's talk about like your most extreme experience. You went in with no expectation. What happened?
So I think, right, if there are, I've actually got three fantastic stories about ayahuasca. My brain was just going through the files thinking, well, I know two straight away because they're always the, you know, they're like, oh, that one. So I got three brilliant stories from ayahuasca. So maybe I'll pick one and let's see how we do for time. I'm all right with for time. I've structured this so well that my wife has just left and my baby, well, my baby, my little daughter, she's gone to the in-laws, so we're good to go. I'm free. Yes.
I love it.
Okay, okay. So let's go with this. So my first most powerful ayahuasca experience was in 2006. Now, prior to this, I'd done about five or six ayahuasca sessions in various, I've been to Sweden and a few other places. And I've had some good ceremonies, and it was interesting and quite challenging and stuff like that. But in 2006, for I don't really know how it came to be, it was sort of a calling. In 2006, in March of 2006, there was a solar eclipse through the spring equinox. So it was like an uber powerful, you know, alignment of the stars and the energies and all that sort of stuff. So I was going on an ayahuasca retreat over that time in Brazil. And we were going to be able to also literally see the solar eclipse where we were. It was on the Bahia coast in Brazil. So I went there, and it was 17 days. It was six ceremonies in 17 days.
What?
So
oh my God.
Pretty full on. It was pretty full on. And I'm living in the UK. I'm off over to Brazil. I don't know how I, to be honest, come to get there, but I decided I was going. It was on this specific alignment, blah, blah, blah. Now, like I said, I've done five or six ceremonies. This was six ceremonies, 17 days, South American shaman in Brazil. It's the real McCoy. So I get there, and it's a bit of a mission. It's a right old mission. But anyway, beautiful setting. We're in our own, like, whole area. We've got our own fire pit. It's all secure, palm trees. It's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And the shaman is very interesting, because when I first got there, the shaman was a guy from, I think, Venezuela, called Verine, right? And when I first saw him, I looked at him, and he was a little skinny guy with a ponytail, and he had a Manchester United football shirt on. That's his football club from over here in England, the most famous football club over in here, right? So he had a red football shirt on, and I'm like, what? This guy's the shaman. You know, you sort of think in your mind you've got like,
right,
a,
it doesn't,
I don't know, maybe somebody that looks a bit like me, or somebody like a Lord of the Rings when you think of a shaman. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm thinking to myself, man, it's cost me about $5,000, $6,000 this trip. If this is like bullshit, I'm going to be pissed off. So I go up to the guy who runs it, and I say, Ralph, I said, is that the shaman, the guy with the football shirt on like that? You know, and he's like, Chris, don't worry. He said, his ayahuasca is magnificent. And I'm like, okay, like that. And he actually had a really lovely way about him, this shaman. He was very, very gentle, lovely. He was there with his wife, was there with his little toddler at the time, which couldn't be any more than two, which comes into the ceremony later on. So anyway, beautiful place, nice people from all around the world, probably about 30 of us. Now, on the way over to this journey, I'd been reading one of the books by Terence McKenna. Are you familiar with Terence McKenna?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. So of course, you know, one of the early explorers in this stuff. So I've been reading one of his books, right? And this line had got me in my mind, and it was his line where he almost famously says, you know, when doing ayahuasca, do it in heroic and committed doses. Right. That was his thing, because he says if you only do small doses, you get one wave of it and then you think you're there, and then it sort of fizzles away and it's not that strong. So I've been reading that, and I'm thinking, right, well, I'm going all the way to Brazil. I'm spending a lot of money. I'm taking about 3 weeks out of life and, you know, delving deep in here. So I'm going, right, this is it. I'm going in from the start. Right. Now, I was with, at the time, a girlfriend. At the time, I was going out with an American girl. And so we were together. Right. It's quite funny, because we had very different experiences. I think on the first ceremony, she was so scared looking at me that it just freaked her out. But we'll get to that. So anyway, the first ceremony comes, right? So in my mind, I've got, right, heroic and committed doses. I'm going for it. I'm just going to. And I don't know why that was a thing for me. You know, it wasn't like I was overly conscious to, you know, but I just thought, right, I'm here for six. I'm in. If I'm in, I'm going all in.
Yeah, that's cannonball just, in. Don't be a little bitch. Heroic dose it up.
Yeah, exactly. I was a bit more, you know, that's my temperament anyway, but I thought, well, you know, here we go. Anyway, so he was there. We're all sort of around in like a big sort of, you know, oval circle type of thing. And the shaman was singing the Icaros, like the songs into the ayahuasca in a bottle. He was singing and doing the rattles, and a really beautiful, powerful ceremony where he's blessing the ayahuasca. And then we had our fire pit, our own fire pit, and then our own little rugs and things around the fire pit, and palm trees. It was just sensational, you know. You felt safe, you felt good. It was the ideal thing, the ideal setting. It was warm as well, you know. There's a warm here in Brazil. So we go up and, you know, you take a cup and you bless it, and it, you know, it was, oh man, that tastes grim. It always tastes grim. And you know, you go off and you lie down, and then everybody has the ayahuasca. So they're all lying around this big fire pit, probably about 30, maybe even 40. I would say 30 people, if I recall. You know, quite a big place we have, and beautiful. You know, you got the stars, warm. You can hear all the, you know, all the insects. Or it's really, really, really great. So anyway, I'm about half an hour in, and you can hear, you know, people starting to journey, and people starting to be sick, and people starting to moan, and he's going around with these rattle, and he's singing these Icaros, you know, and they're going through you. And half an hour, nothing. I'm thinking, 45 minutes, nothing. I'm like, for fuck's sake. Excuse my language.
Oh,
right?
No, it's fine.
That's how it was. Like, oh, man. So I'm like, I go up to him, and I go up to him, and I tap him. He doesn't speak any English. I tap him, and I go, oh, one more, like this, you know. And he looks at me, and he goes, No visions. I'm like, oh, nothing at all. And he's like, like that. So he gives me another cup. So I swigs this other cup back, goes back down, sits down, and now I'm trying to get into it. And again, chaos is ensuing around now. Journeys are starting. You're hearing people, all sorts of stuff going on. It's quite a spectacular thing. If you ever walked in on a ceremony like that, you wonder what the hell was going on, you know. Another half an hour, another 45 minutes, nothing. Two cups. I'm like, man. So, gets back up off my mat, up to him. Verone. One more. He's like, what? No vision. He's looking at me like this. He's looking around. I'm like, no. He's like, good. Gives me a third cup, right? So I have this third cup, and I swig this third cup. And just as I finish, the end of that third cup, I could feel it start to kick in. And I knew at that very moment, oh, shit, I'm in the shit now. Oh, dear.
There's no turning back.
I could feel the strength. I could feel the strength of it coming through. And I just downed the third cup. Oh, no. Oh, here we go. Now, this winds me back to maybe the rave scene of the late 80s and 90s in the UK, where you'd have an ecstasy pill, and normally that'd last you all night, and then maybe at the end of the night you think, I'll just drop one more, and then you were absolutely mashed, you know. Oh, no. Or you're doubled up or something, you're like, you've got one too many, you know. But so I always describe this as if you've ever, I don't know if it's the same for where you are, but if you've ever been on holiday, and let's say you live in a generally quite coldish, but generally not a warm country, and you go on holiday, so it's easy to explain this to British people, right? And then you open the door, you're on the plane, and then you get to a warm, you know, you land on the runway, and it's beautifully warm, and they open the door, and you get that, like, that warmth and that air, and it's like you're being bathed with warm energy, and you're like, oh man, that's so good, let's get out of that plane. That's what it was like. So what started to happen, as soon as I finished that third cup, I went and lay back down, and seriously, I joke, right? But let me tell you, the next 3 hours were absolutely savage. So it felt like that warmth thing that I just explained, getting out of an airplane in a hot country. It felt like that was like starting from my feet, and just the whole like vibration of that was going through my whole body like this, and it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and that whole like, you know, energy field was like that. And as it got stronger and stronger, I literally physically started like convulsing on the ground. Like, it was so strong. And like I said, this is the start of it. And this wasn't enjoyable. This, you knew, I knew from, you know, just living life and what I've done before, this, I got a lot of ayahuasca in me, and I'm like, I'm in for a journey now, and you've got no choice. You know, this is it. You wanted it, Walton. Now you've got it. This, here we go. You know, heroic and committed doses, that this is the consequences of a heroic and committed dose. So as this got stronger and stronger, I literally was convulsing off the floor. And I mentioned at the time, my girlfriend, she had half a cup, and she was looking at me freaking, because my eyes were out here. I'm literally convulsing like I need an exorcist or something. Yeah. Like, oh, man. And then I'm moaning and I'm groaning and I'm like, man, and I feel absolutely grim. Like I feel, Jesus, what is happening? It's like this, you know, this energy, this the spirit, the intelligence of the plant is just working through me and working through all the gunk and the grime and the resistance and the toxicity and the, you know, all the stuff, you know, the negative energies and the incoherent patterns. And it's like, whoa, you're feeling it being worked. And then I was probably, I don't know, sick for about half an hour, just constantly. And then the other end, I was diarrheaing, just absolutely everything. I had absolutely no control whatsoever. And that's why I say that's obviously, unless you're a weirdo, that's not a pleasant experience. You know, yeah. Like, so this was me. I was having a massive, like huge, cathartic, physical cleanse, which was very hard, really tough. But at the same time as that, the thought processes in the and the 3D journey that I was going on that was just unfolding was absolutely mad. So before I get onto that bit, there was a point where I was convulsing so much on the floor that the shaman came over to me. And he had his, I don't know what they use, some sort of like perfumey sort of scent stuff where they light it and blow. So they got a lighter and so the flame blows over you a little bit sort of thing. And so he was doing that over me. So if you can imagine me, I'm lying down, I'm convulsing like big time. And so he gets this flame and he's like, and blows this sort of flame over my torso. And then each time just sort of grabs from my chest like that, like that, touches my chest and grabs. And every time he grabbed, I could see like a reptile type of creature. So it either looked like a lizard or like an armadillo or like an old, you know, ancient dinosaur or something like that. And every time he grabbed my torso, solar plexus area, boom, like pull it out like that, that vision came into my mind of what had just left my body or left my energy field or something like that, you know, something like that. So that was very, very healing because that whole area that I just talked about there took probably about 2 to 3 hours. It was really tough. And some of the stages, I was literally, I think in my book, I describe it like by saying, if you've ever seen a little dog grab a rag doll and toss it around in its mouth, that's what I was like on the floor, on the grass, you know, at some stage, just tossing and flipping and just being taken completely by the spirit, you know, by the plant. It was really, you know, working itself.
When you were in that point really quickly, like, did you ever have a thought like, I'm going to die?
Huh.
You know, 'cause sometimes, you know, have you ever been so high, like weed sometimes? Like Nicole has talked about it, like she like would be the one to call 911 on herself. Like, no. Are you at that point where you're like, this is not okay, I'm scared? Or did you at least feel like I'm going to be okay?
It's another excellent question, by the way. Mm-hmm. But, right, that the question actually comes up in another ceremony I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Because in this ceremony, it's not overly easy to sort of explain, but in this ceremony, I was sort of, that there was so much medicine in me, it was so much working through me, there was so much obliteration of my psyche, and I was starting to go on this journey, there was no realization, there's no real logical process, am I going to be all right? I'd sort of gone beyond that, you know, the disintegration of the physical and personality psyche had already sort of started to disintegrate. So that wasn't even in the mix, you know, and it was so physical and so cathartic that, you know, I'm not in my head, mm-hmm. You know, I'm just like, you know, so in the body and, you know, so feeling it. So yeah, that's, I didn't have that thought process, but it is very relevant to another story. Very, very relevant. Anyway, so then more of the journey, I mean, it was all very 3D, very fractal-like, literally your consciousness is traveling through, you know, different shapes, colors, dimensions, journeying through ayahuasca world and the jungle world, and very, very detailed, very, very specific coloring and 3D imagery and symbolism and, you know, messages and ways of getting information into your system that you know it's sort of happening but you don't understand why and how it's happening and stuff. Very, very powerful. And there was a point where, again, this energy hasn't subsided, you know, I've got this energy, but it's it seems to have like finished its physical phase, and now I'm into sort of like the mental emotional phase, if you like. And then there was a point where this is where we start to go off the deep end, by the way, for your listeners. This is where we go into, yeah, he's mental mode, right? So there was a point where I noticed like the, so it's important here to also to add that my visuals of what was going on with eyes open were very, very distorted to actually the, you know, where we were. I was seeing a different level of depth of complexity in the system. I was sort of seeing at the sort of, I don't know, I say molecular level, but more like the sort of energy level, but still being able to see and understand shapes, and that's trees and these are people, but not in the way that you would look at them normally. You know, I was much more sort of in and out, sort of, you know, mixing with different sort of levels of interpretation of energy and information. So, you know, it was very, very altered state, very, very woo, out there sort of stuff. And then this sort of field of energy, if you like, in my visual awareness, it sort of turned into like a big anaconda, you know, like a big boa constrictor snake. And it was absolutely bizarre because I don't like snakes at all. I'd normally have a real fear of if that was a visual awareness, I would have a fear response, but it wasn't that at all. It was just like, this is a healing situation. You're being healed. You're being taken. I'm coming for you. The spirit's coming for you. Ayahuasca's coming for you. I'm taking you. Let me become, you know, all this sort of stuff. And it was like, oh, and this snake, this visual interpretation as the way the energy was changing started to take me into its mouth, from the feet through the lower legs to the shins, up through my body, all the way up. So I'm literally going into the snake. And then as I went sort of fully into it, then I became the boa constrictor. I became the serpent, you know, and it's a very powerful symbolic animal in shamanism. And then when I became that serpent in that form, my visual changed completely. It was almost like I was seeing, I don't know, like infrared or a different way of perceiving energy and information.
Like how
again.
Yeah. That's what it sounds
like. Yeah, type of stuff, you know, and it was absolutely and utterly astonishing, you know, the experience of that in itself and being able to just sort of hang on to that's what's happening, but you're in this deep, deep state. And then there were just what felt like, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of these serpents all around me, protecting me. And I don't want to say healing me because it sounds a bit, I don't know, that's an appropriate word, but certainly protecting, energizing, enhancing, expanding, doing something to me, you know. And it was very, very deep, you know, I'm in a very deep, deep altered state. My eyes are closed. This is just like, oh my God, you know, it's so, so strong and so, so forceful, but so, so nurturing and so, so loving and so, so supportive, you know, but you just know you've just fully let go and this spirit's working through you. So it was, that was incredible. And that whole area lasted, God knows, you know, an hour or two maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. And then as I moved into the back end of the phase, as this sort of, the boa constrictor serpent experience sort of morphed into something else, then my body, so this is, it's just interesting, you know, during that phase, there's so many parts of this story, I'm trying to keep it on track. During that phase, so much mental and emotional work was happening. So many files, if you like, memories were coming up, and so much cleansing of these memories and experiences. And it's almost like it was just being wiped or changed or cleansed or updated. But it was very, it was consistent. There was a lot of it. And it was, a lot of it was, didn't overly seem to be related to my life as I would know it, you know, childhood stuff or anything like that, but you knew it was related to you and it was you in some sort of way, you know. And it's a different feeling to the physical cathartic cleanse, but it's a mental, emotional cleanse, healing in some way. And then from there, I started to expand. So I started to get into a place where I felt, I suppose, healed, purified, if you like, you know. And I felt like that, you know, there's no resistance in me to becoming who I really am or what I really am, or like to becoming to the universe to show itself through Chrissy's eyes, for consciousness to show itself through Chrissy's eyes, and for Chris to be aware of that. I felt like that. And then I just started to expand. So my consciousness started to really, really sort of fully expand what I considered as a sense of self was expanding and expanding and expanding. And it just kept going and it kept going and it kept going. And the waves kept coming with it. But it kept going and going and going until I was literally everything. Like I literally obliterated my consciousness back to reconnection with the oneness of consciousness, the oneness of energy, whatever word you want to use, you know, God or whatever you want to use in those massive abstract realms. And I was in this just bliss, absolute, utter bliss state. And I could sort of look around and get a gauge of bodies and trees, and I could sense wind and I could sense leaves. But my interpretation, the way I was seeing that and experiencing that was, that's me. I am all of this. It wasn't like there was a Chris there having an expanded consciousness experience looking at everything. It was like Chris is the whole thing, looking at himself, you know. It was absolutely paradigm-shifting, unbelievable experience. And then what started to happen was, I'm probably about 6 hours into the ceremony now, so then what started to happen was there was part of my conscious mind that almost sort of started to fire up to say, I need to make some meaning of this. I need to understand this. I need to, is it like this? Is it like that? It's almost like it's trying to formulate something. Mm-hmm. And as that was happening, my consciousness started to contract a little bit to the point where I could almost grasp something. I could almost grasp, oh, it's a tree. It's a, oh, I've got a hand. Oh, I'm a body, but not quite. Almost there, but not quite. And then it would just push. Just blow me back to oneness again, to oneness consciousness, like an elastic band, like that, Bosh. And that, honestly, I swear to God and all anybody else, as true as I'm with you now, that happened for probably at least an hour. So I kept coming back. I'd have this contraction where I could almost make some sense of something and just about to get it, like you're just about to get an answer from a question, and then bang, and exploded back at like, a gabillion miles an hour into the oneness consciousness again. And that contraction, expansion, like I say, it went on for at least an hour. It was absolutely incredible because it kept giving me oneness experiences. Let's come away from that. You've nearly got some logic. Bang, oneness experience again. And it kept doing that. You know, it's like, oh my God. So that went on, like I say, for a good while. And the session sort of, I don't say come to an end really, because I'm not sure it ever ended. That started to settle, that expansion, contraction, expansion started to settle. But as it settled, it left me in oneness. It left me in bliss. It didn't leave me in the physical Chris with the logic and everything else. It left me in a state of utter connectedness, utter oneness, utter love, utter bliss, just sat like this. And then as more of the senses started to come back, I could sit and watch people and look at people and just literally feeling absolute oneness, like at a state beyond any other state, because it only is one state. It's a state of one. It's just like, holy shit, man. And then that sort of fizzled, started to slow down, and I finally made it back to my room about 9 o'clock in the morning. So it was a long ceremony. It was probably about 10 hours, that ceremony. And there's lots of little bits in that I've missed out. Otherwise, it'd just be an even longer story, you know. But that's the nuts and bolts of it. But that was so strong. The first bit was so hard. So hard. I would never do that again. I would never do that again. That's so, well, actually, I'm lying to you, because the next 2 days later, I did it again. But I'm on about now, you know, now. and that was, you know, there were so many messages, healings, and shifts for me in just that first ceremony. That was the first of six. In that first ceremony, you know.
Wild. The first of six.
Do you think you had the most intense physical reaction compared to the others there because of the number of drinks you had?
One too many, Chris.
Because there were three. So you probably had more than most of the others. So do you think like your experience might have been like that much more intense than the people that you were observing around you as you were coming out of it?
I think, you know, it's funny because it's like, I think dosage is relevant, but I also think there was a lot more going on. You know, there was a lot more going on. I'd connected with ayahuasca and I felt a calling to go to Brazil. It was a lot of money. It was a big lot. It was a long distance. It was 3 weeks away. I just think there was a lot going on. And I think even the whole buildup, like I was reading the Terence McKenna book and I was heroic in committed doses. It sort of felt like, listen, buddy, you're coming for this. You're taking a lot and we're going to work you over, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the dosage was relevant, but I also think there was probably a lot more pre-planning ahead that I was not aware of, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So when you're there, and this is just a question that I'm projecting from like my nervousness of just thinking about taking ayahuasca, like when you are there and you see other people, and Are some people so nervous to drink the medicine? Like, should that be a sign that somebody shouldn't do it if they're really nervous about it? Or, like, what are your thoughts on, like, combating that?
Yeah. I think I'll actually quote Terence McKenna here because I really like this quote. And he says, fear has the stamp of validity, meaning if you're not frightened when you're going to do ayahuasca, you either don't know what you're doing or you're stupid, because you should be scared because you're giving yourself over. It means it's real. You're not going to sit down and do a Vipassana or something you can just get up from and change your mind. If you've taken a good amount of ayahuasca, you're in for the ride.
You're in for it.
Yeah, so to have some fear is healthy. Obviously, you don't want to be overwhelmed by fear like at any stage, but to have some fear, every single dose I've ever taken out of 35 ceremonies, even the last one I did, that, you know, it's just like, oh, she's still like, oh God, here we go. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't got that, there's something wrong with you. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's one thing to think about. That it's a natural response and it's a healthy response. What was the other part of the question? Sorry.
I think that was it. I've had some experiences. I mean, really just like one where it was like, just like a bad trip and I got so paranoid and I felt like everybody hated me and everybody was staring at me and it was so awful. And I'm like thinking to myself, why the hell did I put myself through this? And I think like, that's kind of my fear with maybe doing plant medicine, that like, I'm going to have this like fear that I can't get out of, this like horrible paranoia and anxiety. And I don't know. I get that with weed and I don't know.
Well,
maybe that's a lesson that I have to be taught. Mama Aya is going to teach me.
She's going to get me.
It's good thinking, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it to think that way, you know, to be smart and to be shrewd and to be aware and to have some healthy fear about plant medicines, I think, is a very, very smart, intelligent way to be. You know, they're not to be messed with. And the key thing is, for me, it's who you're with. If you're with some people that you feel safe and you like and you're secure and the place is nice, you're going to be fine. You know, just get stuck in and see what happens. But it's not for everybody. You know, it's certainly, obviously, like many things, Jason, it's not for everybody. It's not a magic wand. It's not going to sort all your problems out. You know, but it is a very, very exceptionally powerful healing medicine. And it is a medicine. And there's nothing like it. There's just simply nothing like it in my humble little experience of trailing those areas and many other healing modalities. You know, it's literally, you know, that is a spirit, isn't it? It's a spirit of the earth. And it knows exactly what to do. It'll give you exactly what you want at the time that you are there. So you can just sort of hand it over, you know, but it's going to feel right. You know, I think if you're overly nervous about it and you're forcing it because, hey, maybe part of you wants to do it, but you don't really want to do it. You just want to sort of try it. Then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think listening to your inner wisdom is always good, isn't it? And again, you know, if you want to do it and you call it in, it will find you. You know, I haven't looked for any of the stuff that I've done. It has found me like bum, bum, bum. Like, I haven't looked for any of it. So, well, ayahuasca, I started to look for it, but not really, because somebody told me about it at the Munro Institute, and that was the catalyst of it, if you know what I mean. So, yeah.
Is this a sign that we have you on, that we should do?
It's
because I'm really one click away from booking my ticket to Peru, Chris.
It works in mysterious ways, doesn't it? You know, it works in mysterious ways. But yeah, I guess, you know, see what unfolds. If you're meant to do it, I genuinely believe it will find you and tell you, and you'll end up doing it sooner and later, you know. So I don't think you need to think about it too much. That's my experience. Yeah.
I have another question. So mass hallucination, I always find this super fascinating. Have you ever in your ayahuasca experiences, people have experienced the same situation? Essentially, this question is like, you know, when you take a plant medicine or even with like psilocybin, some people have mass hallucinations where they're hallucinating and they're seeing the same vision. So it's like, are you tapping into a different dimension that is there and everyone's seeing it? Has that ever occurred?
Not for me with ayahuasca. And I've done ayahuasca with a lot of people in a lot of places, as I say, and I've never had any, oh, that was exactly what happened for me moments in sharing circles.
So it's like very like personalized.
Each person exactly. Totally personalized. That's what I say. It'll give you what you need at that time for you to move and heal and grow. But I did have that experience with the large dose of psilocybin with my mate Maris. We'll have to come on to that later, but you know, when I was telling him what was happening, I was literally describing his journey, you know, for the last 4 or 5 hours. So it did happen like that with psilocybin. Yeah.
Wow.
But I think ayahuasca is more of a healing plant, you know, and more of a healing medicine than I think psilocybin. I don't know, you know, maybe more of a way shower or a, you know, an expander or some other words you could use, I suppose, but I'm not sure I would class it so much as a healing medicine. Maybe it is. Maybe, you know, different mushrooms, different types, different dosages. But you know, I suppose I mean in the actual journey sense, the psychedelic altered journey sense. I think ayahuasca is a far more focused on healing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know,
and ayahuasca has like this mother energy, right? They call it Mama Aya. It's like this feminine healing mother type of.
Energy. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful energy, and it's definitely 100% a feminine energy. It's nurturing, it's loving, it's caring, it's supporting, it's holding, it's stroking, it's soothing, and it's fucking powerful. You know, so, don't take those qualities as weak. Yeah. They're definitely not weak qualities, and there's energy, there's power. But yeah, I mean, it's she the feminine spirit of ayahuasca, it literally is mind-boggling, because there is a spirit, there is an intelligence. It doesn't matter who you are and what you are and what you think, you know, if you have a good dose of ayahuasca, you'll know, you know. that's the thing, you know, you're giving yourself, you're fully surrendering, because you know, you're taking a spirit inside of you to heal you, you know.
So you mentioned there's two other stories. Did any of those stories happen while you were still at the same place, or was it other places that you were when you experienced the next two?
The other two are actually two different countries. There's another five ceremonies there, and the second. So what we would do, we'd have a ceremony, have a day off, ceremony, day off, and it was pretty, you know, it basically was just like one long 16, 17 day, wow. six ceremonies. So it was literally just felt like one long ceremony, you know, leaving there and going back to the real world was an interesting one, but that's another story.
Do you eat after that? Like, are you hungry, or like, does your body crave any type of nutrients while you're going through this?
Yeah. I mean, we were very well catered for. We had beautiful fruits and, you know, gentle foods, light foods, but we could eat the next day. And, you know, I personally don't believe you need to do any of the dieteta and go in the jungle and diet and eat things that you're not really supposed to, thinking that's going to work and make your ayahuasca better. I just think absolute nonsense. I've done it both ways. I've done it with a diet and I've done it with eating like a pig. And and my experiences were eating like a pig were just as profound as dieting, you know, or not even dieting, but, you know, eating light and fasting a little bit beforehand, that sort of stuff. So, you know, again, there's lots of beliefs wrapped up in that, and you can pick your beliefs how you want. But that, you know, from my experience, that's you know, a little bit of light fruit, keeping, you know, you want to keep your energy up. You are using a lot of energy in ceremonies. So I don't think it's a big, you know, any big benefit from not eating and stuff like that. I think it's probably negative benefits for most people, especially Westerners, you know.
Ouch.
Well, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Walk us through, like, okay, so you've done the ceremonies. Walk us through the process of integration and how that looks, because I've heard a bunch of stories of people coming back from their ayahuasca trip and they're like, you know, F this corporate job, like I'm quitting, things change. Have you ever had an ayahuasca trip and then come back home and you've like dropped, you have to make certain changes that you feel called to make? Has that ever occurred? Or is it like back to the grind?
Well, it's an interesting one, because at that time in 2006, I'd left like, the UK.
Did you break up with your American girlfriend afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
not directly afterwards, no. we went a bit further along and helped each other heal, you know, until it was time to move on. Yeah, that it was great. Right, the question. Let me get back to the question. So what was the, say the question again, the first
thing. Just like your integration process.
Yeah, the integration. Like? So the interesting thing there was I'd moved from America to from the UK to America, and we were leaving Brazil and then flying to LA and then hanging there and whatever. And then we had to stop at an airport in Mexico to change planes and get back to California before we moved to where we were going. And after six ceremonies and 17 days and just being tucked away, just even getting back to even like a road where there's traffic was just like, whoa, hectic energy. And then when you got to the airport, and then when we landed in Mexico, it was hectic. And it was like I could hear every single body's internal voice. It was like, oh man, I've got to wind this down. Like, it's so intense. Like, fucking hell, this is grim, you know? So then we got back to the States. Then it was pretty difficult for me to integrate at that time, because it was a very up and down situation. You know, I moved and I was trying to sort out visas and relationship issues and stuff like that. So like after just coming off the back of like the most profound, you know, 20 days of my life, where my whole paradigms were obliterated beyond belief about what I think the world is, the way it works, who we are, and much, much more, you know, real, real existential stuff. So it was challenging at that time to integrate. But I think I have personally found that when you do big altered state experience work over a period of time, it takes a while to integrate, a lot longer than you think. Because if you get back to normal life and get back to normal work and, you know, realize you do work and you pay bills and you this, that, and, you know, normal stuff with normal people, you know, it's not easy, because you've taken yourself to a place that's so, so different to that. And you've probably had some really powerful psychological shifts in the way that you view the world and your value system and what's important to you and the way you make meaning of people, places, and events and what life's about. And sometimes that can leave you feeling different to your friends and social colleagues and stuff like that. And you can feel a little bit alienated, a little bit, oh man, I'm not really on their vibe anymore, you know? And that's certainly happened to me over the years, but that's the path, you know. If you're going to walk the path and expand yourself to your true nature, to your true understanding of who you are, you know, full realization, full awakening of your mind, full enlightenment, and if you're really lucky, full liberation, you know, if that's the path you're on, then that's how it is, you know. Some people come with you and some people won't, but integration is very, 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 very important, not talked about enough, and is, you know, you've got to make time for it. It's important to make time for it, and otherwise it can be a hard landing, if you know what I mean.
When, like, is there certain like journaling things that you do, or like what would the integration process look like for somebody? Is it just maybe taking time out of your day to kind of center yourself, meditate?
I don't know, you know, I think it really varies. Sometimes, you know, your integration might be, you know what, let's go and eat some chocolate, let's go and you know, let's go and watch a movie. Let's go and laugh at some comedy. Let's go and smoke a joint. Let's go and have a drink. Let's forget about anything spiritual. And let's just like, let's go and live life for a couple of months and just forget about that shit and let that integration happen. You know what I mean? Just get back to life and do what you do. Some people, yeah, like to meditate on their experiences, journal and all sorts of stuff. Myself, I just like to get very physical. I get back to the gym as soon as I can, you know, get make sure I'm embodied. I live in my body. I'm here. I'm grounded. I'm eating well and hydrating well. And I just let the integration happen then. But it's important to be aware that an integration needs to happen. You've done something very, very profound. Not so much with just one ceremony, but if you do a big thing of it, you know, and then follow it up with other work. And, you know, like I say, it's not a magic wand. So you need ideally an integrative plan of development if you're into development work, if that's what you want to do. You know, there's not much point in doing it if you don't integrate your learnings and integrate your experiences. Otherwise, it just becomes a trip. You know, it's like I have a friend of a friend the other week that ended up getting invited to four ceremonies on four nights with four different plant medicines. It's just a total waste of time. Oh, you know, it's just silly. You know, it's just you're not thinking it through. What are you going to do with that? Ayahuasca, you know, psilocybin, you know, cambo, and the next one. And then what? What do you do there? So you've mixed up four medicines, four spirits, for what? Mm. You know, you've got to integrate. You want to take yourself out. And it, the whole point of it is, if you ask me, is to take yourself out, is to realize who you are deep, deep, deep down. Who are you? What's your real, you know, identity, your real nature? To experience that, take yourself out, get some information, get some knowledge, get some learnings, get some wisdom, bring it back, and then bring it into the world. Otherwise, you're just having entertainment. Otherwise, you're just tripping. You know, if you're not going to do anything with the knowledge that you've gained and the experience that you've gained and the wisdom that you've gained to help other people, then it's just a trip. You're just out doing entertainment. That's fine if you want to do that. But, you know, that's my view on it. You know, it's not easy work, is it? The plant medicines are not easy. They don't tickle you and buy you sweets, stroke your head. They're often very, very challenging experiences, but very, very empowering, you know, healing, growing, expansive experiences. So, you know, but like I say, there's not much point in going out there and hanging out in spirit and all the dimensions with all the aliens and all the beings and all the information that you can get in these altered states, and then coming back and not doing anything, you know, not starting a business, not going for what you want to do in your life, not making it happen, not making people happy. You know what I mean? It's pointless. That's my view on that anyway.
I guess out of all the experiences that you had, what was the most profound piece that you brought back? Was it that experience of oneness that you described? Or would you say that there was something else outside of that, that you kind of, like, when you think of all the times that you've had these experiences, like, what's the go-to thing that you took away from it, I guess?
Excellent question, that is. Yeah, really good. I think you answered the question for me, but I have two experiences of it, and maybe one we can lead into to the next ceremony. But certainly that experience I told you was my first, like I'd mentioned to you before, you know, 5 years, 4 years before that, or 3 years before that, or whatever it was, I'd had an out-of-body experience at the Monroe Institute. That was in our first conversation, wasn't it? So, yeah. You know, I was aware of this. Consciousness outside the body, etc. But that experience that I shared with you, it was so long, and that end section of, you know, couple of 2 or 3 hours where I'm expanding, I'm contracting, that whole last phase was so powerful. So because I was hanging in oneness for so long, it wasn't like a one taste, it was like, you know, a bath full, you know, like it integrated into my every cell, every fiber of my being, every part of my energy field. There's nothing you could tell me that would be able to change that experience, like nothing, you know? So I know, like, I don't care. I don't need to read anything or pray or meditate or anything. I know, I absolutely know what we are deep down and beyond when we expand beyond the body. So that's a very, very profound realization experience. You know, I know from experience. So that has ramifications in everything. You know, it's like I live life knowing I'm not my identity is not a physical person. Obviously, I'm in a physical body, and here we are, you know. But that's that. That so that's a very big thing to bring back. That's the ultimate thing to bring back, I think, in one way. And then there was another experience that I, in answer to your question, what's your go-to that you already think of? It's the one that I explained to you, and maybe the one that I'll explain to you in a minute if you want. We could segue into that one. But that answers all. The next ceremony also answers a few of the other questions. But if you want me to get onto this one now, this one adds a few things to that oneness experience. It adds a few things. It adds a few different extra qualities that are just like, holy shit sort of qualities, you know. Yeah. So, you know, if you want me to go into that one now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So this one was in Sweden with also actually a South American shaman from Brazil. An amazing man. I won't say his name for now, but a very, very amazing guy and very, very wonderful, beautiful shaman. So much so he doesn't even call himself a shaman. He calls himself a facilitator. But he's done over 1,000 ceremonies, you know. So, yeah. Anyway, that's that. So, funny enough, that's funny because now I'm thinking about this. This ceremony that I'm about to tell you about in Sweden was after the Brazil one because maybe a year or two, right? Maybe a year or two after. And I remember being, and it was two ceremonies, a Friday night and a Saturday night. So turn up Friday, do a Friday night ceremony, Saturday night, relax on Sunday, go home Sunday afternoon. So I remember saying to the guy when he came to it, it was a really nice setting, again, in the woods, middle of nowhere, Sweden, big sort of hut that we got, really set and setting perfect. Once again, I can't tell you how important that is, you know, to feel comfortable with the people that you're with, safe and secure is everything. So anyway, as it comes to the ceremony, I went up to the shaman and I said, I'll call him Mr. Smith, right? Mr. Smith. Mm-hmm. I said, I've had so many fucking hard ceremonies. I said, does it always have to be hard? Is it always so challenging? I just find it's... And he said, well, you have it hard, Chris, because you've got a hard head and they need to get into you, you know, but why don't you try not taking so much ayahuasca? And I said, okay. So anyway, funnily enough, I'm with my friend Maris, So I'm with my friend Maris, right? The same guy from the side of Sibin. So, yeah, well... They're not taking much ayahuasca. Didn't really turn out too good, I guess. Because Maris was like, fuck that, Chris. Come on. I'm like, okay, mate, let's go. So that turned out to when it... And it was quite funny because in this hut that we're in, there was almost like a little bar, like a drinks bar, but there's no drinks there. So he was behind the bar and he'd say, okay, bar's open. And he'd have his like bottles of ayahuasca on the bar, you know. So it was cool. So anyway, so after asking him this question and him saying to me, why don't you just try not taking so much, you know, I then went up and he said, right, how much do you want? And I got this glass and I said, just fill it up. He's like, are you sure? I said, just fill it up. I'm just going for it. Just fill it up. And I'm with me, mate. I'm thinking, here we go. And I drank this cup of ayahuasca. It's probably the biggest cup of ayahuasca I've ever drank in one go. Oh, wow. It was probably, I don't know, 250 milliliters, say half a pint of ayahuasca. And I put it down and there was part of me sort of thinking to myself, I even remember thinking this now, that was part of me thinking at that time then, you're just mad, Chris. You're just mad. You've done it again, haven't you? What's the matter with you? You know, but there was part, as I say, there was something that was driving through me with ayahuasca, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we lay down, we're all lying on a mat, and we haven't got a fire pit in a hut, but we've got the shamanic music, and the music's really strong, really powerful, really hard. The first hour's like boom, 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 you know, really low bass chakra grinding jungle music with the beats and everything, really getting you going, you know. And it was like, ooh. And anyway, that day, right, I hadn't had anything to eat. I'd had a light breakfast, but I hadn't had anything to eat. So I thought, I'm going to, this was a Friday, actually, it's the first ceremony. I'm going to, you know, have a sort of empty stomach and just get into it and see how it goes. So by the time we'd come to do the ceremony, it was probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I was hungry and my blood sugar was bottomed. I'm like, oh, I feel a bit iffy, but okay, here we go. And I was a little bit anxious because my blood sugar was bottomed, and I was a little bit anxious because I was a little bit anxious, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So about, I don't know, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, I don't know, hour and a half, maybe in, I started shaking. Like, I was lying on my bed, and it was dark in this room too. You couldn't really see much at all. There's a couple of candles each end, you know. Music really strong. And I started shaking, like physically shaking. And I thought to myself, am I shaking or is this ayahuasca? Like, am I, is my blood sugar so low that I'm shaking, but I need food? Am I in trouble or is this the ayahuasca? That's a bad place to be when mm-hmm. you're just about to start an ayahuasca journey, I can tell you. And then I started thinking, fucking hell, I'm fucking dropping into a coma. Like, fuck.
No.
I'm telling you now, this was a time, right? This is probably one of the most scariest experiences I've ever had in my fucking life. Like, because I was physically shaking, like, bearing in mind, I'd just taken half a pint of ayahuasca.
Right.
You know, I was just physically shaking. But because my blood sugar was low and I knew it was low and I could feel that in my body, that all amplified and the ayahuasca sort of used that then and got into me. And I literally thought I was dying. I thought, this is it. This is fucking it. Nobody's going to know because I'm in a ceremony. Nobody can hear me. Nobody can see me.
Oh, wow.
This is it. This is fucking it. And I was absolutely shitting myself, right? That's after my Brazil experience. That's after knowing I'm oneness.
Right, you know what I mean? Right.
But it's the reality of it was, it. This was, here comes the lesson, Big Chris. You're also living in the physical body, and I'm going to take you to the edge where you think you're going to die and you're going to be scared stiff. And I literally was scared out of my skin because I thought, this is, nobody can see me. Nobody can hear me. I'm going into a coma. I can feel myself going into a coma. I'm shaking. I thought, this is it. Fucking hell. And then after a bit, I just thought, I've got to fucking get some help. Like, I'm going to fucking die. So I rolled. I was so, like, the ayahuasca was so working me, like, really. Woof. I rolled a little bit and crawled, and I could just about get to the shaman's, like, leg, ankle, and I pulled it a little bit. And I said, Mr. Smith, I think I'm fucking dying. I think I'm fucking dying, like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, Come on, Chris. And he put me back where I was. And, you know, he did the same ceremony as the shaman in Brazil. He got the fire and was going, mm-hmm. pop off my chest like that. And the same again, like reptilian images and structures and, yeah, like armadillos and lizards and shit. And it was like this. And it was probably working on me for about 20 minutes. And I was, fuck me, that ayahuasca was, I had so much in me. It was so strong, and I was so gone, and I was groaning so much. And the funny thing was, it wasn't funny at the time, but my mate Maris was next to me, right? He was having a completely different trip. He was pissing himself. He was laughing. He was giggling. Uh-huh. He was running down, like, and I was like, grim. This went on for a while, right? And then after his healing and stuff, after a bit of a time, I don't know how much time, it started to settle. Mm-hmm. Started to settle, and then I really was in a journey. Like, I was in such a deep, fractal, 3D, colourful journey. It was, oh, my God, it was like, you know, every part of me was in this journey, part of this journey, and it was lessons and learnings and changes and restructuring and all sorts of stuff going on. It was just, oh, my God. And then here we go again, right? So the physical stuff's done. So now I'm into the mental realm. Mm-hmm. So then I start in my mind, right? I start asking questions. And I ask a question and I get an answer. And I ask a question and I get an answer. And ask a question and I get an answer. And then this just gets into like some sort of like hyper madness where I've got question. And it was just like I couldn't shut my mind up. I couldn't switch it off. And I thought, fuck me, I'm going mad. And it was horrendous. It was worse than the physical stuff. It was like question, non-stop, like obliteration of questions. It was honestly, it was torture, fucking torture. And once again, I rolled off my mat, right, crawled to the Mr. Smith, I'm going fucking mad now. So he looks at me, he says, Chris, come with me. And he gets me up and he walks me out the room and he sits me in the kitchen, right? There's a kitchen where we'd eat and stuff. And he just sat there. And I sat on the table and there was a woman in the corner just sitting still. And for 45 minutes, I was flailing. My arms were like this. I'm like, fucking hell, I'm going fucking mad. I can't fucking stop. For 45 minutes, just like literally non-stop. It was fucking torture, right? And then I could feel it. And then Mr. Smith kept saying, just try and breathe. He would hardly say anything. Just breathe. And that would be it. I'm just like, you know, in a bad state. And then I could see this bin, right? There was a bin, like a bin, and I kept looking at it. I kept looking at it. I kept looking at it. And after a little while, I reached for this bin and I was sick. And I tell you, I don't know whether it was my visual awareness of that or it was that, but it was black. It was black. It went, whoa. And listen to this, And it was, honestly, I know this sounds gross and graphic, whatnot.
No, it's fine.
It was like, like what felt like gallons of black liquid, right? And honestly, again, it's just as true as I'm looking at you now, right? The second that stopped, I went, fuck me, I'm all right. Oh, totally like boom, like just like whoa. I'm like, and I said to Mr. Smith, I'm all right now. He's like, mm-hmm. Now go back in and enjoy the ceremony, right? And then I walked back in, and this was perfect because this is actually a song that came on in one of my other ceremonies another time. And I walked back in, and it was, I don't know if you know that song by Nana Mouskouri, I Believe in Angels. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. But by Nana Mouskouri, her voice is amazing. And that came on. And honestly, it was like being back in Brazil again. I sat there. I just sat like that with a straight back in bliss, like literally in oneness. In oneness again, I'm like, boom. And I'm like, man.
I'm back.
Back, buddy. Yeah. So I had that for, well, that was this, that beautiful ending to that ceremony. Again, probably was about an hour to 2 hours, and then I just lay back down and you know, fell asleep. But so that was one of the ceremonies where I really, really thought I was dying. Like, I really thought that was it. This is the end. This is it. It's game over. And then the second round of that, I really, really thought I was going mad, like really, really badly. And then you come out of that, you know, and then you're better for it. But, you know, that was tough. Like, that was a really tough. The end was nice, but it was a, you know, so, you know, from what I've told you now, I'll probably put any listener off ayahuasca if you've got any sense about you run a mile. But it, you know, like I say, if you feel a calling and you're on the path, that's just how it was for me, you know. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
I feel like I've been on a journey through this conversation. Like, I went through my own ayahuasca. Okay. Well, yeah. Because we're almost getting to an hour and a half, and there was something so profound that you had mentioned in our first episode, episode 13. And I love this, and I just want to read it for our listeners, and we can kind of talk about it. But you said, you are connected to an infinite field of energy and information where all of the answers you need are available to you.
Yeah.
And I love that. And it is good. And I feel like we talked about it in the first episode. Maybe we can kind of touch on it again. But like, where did you find that saying?
Well, I tell you what, that's just awesome, because that is the best way we could lead into the third story, if you want.
Oh,
that's
yeah. Do you mind if we just, can we take a bathroom break really quick?
I've got as much time as you like. Sure.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay.
All right, so you are part of an infinite field of energy and information of which all the answers you need are available to you. How did I come to such a grand statement, I suppose? I might have even read that somewhere. I don't even know whether I made it up. So, but this is what I think is exactly what actually is available to us. And that is based on, I suppose, the science of, you know, the sort of understanding of what we are as a physical body when we break the body down, you know, through the tissues, the cells, the molecules, the atoms, the energy fields. You know, scientifically, we look at it, we know we are made of energy fields of energy and information that build all the cells, and here we are. So, you know, you can sort of look at it that way, but you know, that keeps it into logic and not much of an experience. So the third ayahuasca story I'll tell you is actually at Mr. Smith's residence, the same guy from Sweden. And now I'm in South America. I'm in Brazil again.
I'm shocked he invited you to his house after that.
So this was now five ceremonies in 15 days. So it was another big one. Yeah. So I'd been with Mr. Smith a couple of times before. He obviously was the one that was pulling the reptiles out of me and seen me think I'm dying, think I'd go mad. And he'd seen me in other ceremonies also go for it. So he was aware of me. And so anyway, we did the first ceremony, nice ceremony. Come to the second ceremony, nice ceremony. Come to the third ceremony, they were nice, but challenging, but healing and beautiful and amazing and all that stuff. Come to the third ceremony, and I thought to myself, shall I do a big one again? Shall I, you know, sometimes, oh God, we could keep going on this, you know, but shall I do another big one again? And I thought, I'll ask Mr. Smith. So I said, Mr. Smith, blah, blah, and he said, well, remember what I told you in Sweden, Chris, you know, you don't always need big doses. Sometimes, your messages and information can be a lot more subtle, a lot more gentle, you know, but why don't you just try, you know, just a normal dose? So I said, okay. So I had a normal dose, and then the ceremony started about 8:30. It was nice. It was a journey. It was fractal. There was a lot of visuals. It was healing. It was challenging at some point. But about 12, half 12, I sort of felt my journey had ended. I'm still in quite a deep altered state. Oh man, I have got a story from this retreat that I've just remembered that will quite literally blow your mind.
Do you want to talk about that one?
I'm gonna keep going on this one because this one's very, very important. But it's just reminded. And I'll tell you what, like Chris, our mutual friend, I've told Chris a load of these stories, but the one I was just about to mention, he said to me when I told him that, dude, that is by far the most crazy out of all the stories you've told me. That's definitely, I tell you what, your listeners are definitely going to think I'm absolutely nuts. Well, let's stay on track with this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So 12:30, I think my journey's over. So I'm still feeling quite an altered state, but you could go down and have some soup if you want. So I thought, I went to go and have some soup. I thought, I'm a little bit more out of it than I thought, but I feel my journey's over. So I went up to Mr. Smith. I said, you know what? He said, all right, Chris. I said, yeah, so I think my journey's over. And he looked at me like this, and he looked at me, and he said, I think you should take some more. And I'm like, what do you mean take some more? Like, what is it? I asked you at the start of the thing, you told me to take the smaller dose. And he's like, I think you should take some more. I'm like, oh, man. So I said, well, listen, I'll take some more, but if this goes pear-shaped, I'll speak to you in the morning, you know, jokingly sort of thing. So he said, okay, let me pour you some. So I drank this cup, and I lay back down. So now it's about 12:30. I lay back down. And honestly, within 20 minutes, right, this ayahuasca just sort of came into me like a lightning bolt. It was just like, woof! And then it just took me on a journey back in time, like through my lifetime, year by year, all the way through my mother, father, grandparents, ancestral line, all the way back, through different cultures, through different countries, through different lives, you know, a whole multitude of different lives just keep going back and back and back and back. And then it just kept going, honestly, just kept going all the way back. You're sort of into like, there's no human beings, there's nothing formed yet. There's planets, there's this, there's that. Until it took me back into what felt like was just the ultimate seed of creation, the ultimate start of creation. And it's very difficult to try and explain that. As I'm listening to myself trying to explain that now, I don't think I've done a very good job, but it's very difficult to try and explain. You've just been rapidly accelerated back through time, through all your personal history, your parents' personal history, your grandparents' personal history, your ancestral line, till that sort of ends, and then you keep going through all the different forms that human beings have been in, through all the different ages, all the different lives. And this was happening like so, so quick, but so, so graphically, I was experiencing it so powerfully, all the way back to what felt like the seed, the absolute, this is it. There is nothing and everything here. And then I started coming back. And then from nothing and everything, I started coming back with the same velocity. This whole thing lasted about 2 hours. Wow. The whole velocity of coming back from nothing and everything, going through all those different stages again, and at some point you become aware, there's awareness within the person that's, not the person, the being that's having this experience becomes aware, self-awareness becomes available to that being, this consciousness that's having the experience, so that then you end up in a human body, you have all those human lives, you know, you come down the ancestral line, etc., etc. And you experiencing that and feeling that and knowing that, this huge, huge journey till you came right back. So it was an experience of quite literally, you have literally, not metaphorically, everything within you. Like everything that could ever be is within you, you know? And then you come back into the, you know, I came back into the sort of a more of a realized that, so it brought me back into zoom, zoom, zoom. And here we are now. And Chris is on a mat doing ayahuasca in Brazil. And honestly, I lifted up and I jest you not when I say this, I dropped the F-bomb straight for about 15 minutes. 15 minutes. It absolutely obliterated me. When I came round to like, Chris is, somebody's caught, somebody's on a, you know, here I am. And I wake up on the physical Chris level and open my eyes after experiencing that. I was absolutely obliterated, astonished beyond anything I could even verbalize. And literally all I could do was just fuck. And I was literally holding on. I was trying to hold on to the bed. And there was a Spanish guy next to me. He was a really, really lovely man and a wise man and a quite an experienced ayahuasca guy. And he just stroked me. He was just stroking my back. You know, I said, fuck. I was literally just trying to hold on to like get a grasp of like, is this real? Or am I going off again? You know, so that's where I get that, you know, you could say it in many ways, you know, you're whole, complete and connected. You're part of an infinite field of energy and information where all the information you need is available to you. And it's true. Like, it's true. But you just need to be most of the time. No, let me say that again. A lot of the time to access that deeper knowledge, that other knowledge, that's where the altered states of consciousness come in. That's the whole point of it for me, you know, to experience these different altered states, dimensions, places, ways of being, you know, who we are, but to get knowledge, like not like, you know, knowledge you could get off YouTube, but wisdom, healing, so that you, like I say, you make yourself a better person, you do something with your life, you make a difference, whatever you feel that your calling is, but you follow your calling, you follow your purpose, and you don't, you know what I mean? That's the point of it. But that was so profound for me. That was so profound. That'll never, ever leave me. It's very, very difficult. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to describe that verbally because it was, you know, to try and say to you, you know, all of my experiences, all my parents and my grandparents and their ancestral life, that in itself is like mind-boggling. But that was like a speck of dust compared to what else it took me down the journey of life, complete and utter woof. And then here we go, the journey back. Woof. So Chris wakes up on the floor on his mat in an ayahuasca session in Brazil, like, wah! That's what it was like, you know, just oh my God. So yeah, that's how I know, you know, that's how I know we have access to all that energy and information, and the answers are there that we need, but we just have to get into the right state of mind, state of consciousness, and connect with the field, you know, everything's there. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I just, before we get into this last ayahuasca, we're just gonna leave our listeners shattered. Yeah,
thinking I'm an absolute nutcase.
No. We love it. I had this question because we keep talking about like healing, and you know, there's a lot of emotional healing that can happen with ayahuasca, but can there be physical healings? And have you witnessed or have you ever had an injury or anything like that that like ayahuasca has healed for you or anybody that's been in the ceremonies with you?
No, actually I haven't had that. I suppose because physically I'm in reasonably decent shape and health. So that hasn't ever really been my motivation on the physical level. It's always been more like, you know, mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual growth. So I haven't personally experienced that. And I actually don't know anybody that has, but that doesn't mean to say it, you know, it doesn't happen. You know, it's just that it is what it is for everybody at that time, you know. So, but personally for me, no, and I don't recall anybody telling me that about physical stuff, but that's just probably my small circle of things, you know.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get in. Everyone buckle up. Disclaimer added. Let's talk about this last journey.
Okay, so I mean, what, this is basically just turned into one big ayahuasca podcast, isn't it now?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we had intended it, you know, to be.
Yeah, the most profound experiences from all the different times.
So this story is a very interesting one because, or I should say, this experience is a very interesting one. It was in exactly the, I was actually the next, not the next day, but the day after the, from the ceremony I've just told you. So it was ceremony four. And it was a deep ceremony. It was, you know, so bearing in mind, I'm just coming off ceremony three. So that was game changer again. You know, and that's what I was saying, you know, Nicole, is and Vito, that added a bit of extra dimension to the oneness bliss sort of thing. It added an extra bit of knowledge and awareness of, like, we literally have everything within us, literally. At the deepest level, we are connected and we've got every, you know, connection to everything. So that added that extra bit in, you know. This is a completely different story, completely different situation. but I tell you what, this is bizarre. So good ceremony number four, deep, powerful, coming off the back of number three. And it was I don't know what the time was. It was the early hours of the morning. I was pretty out of it, but my journey would have come to the, you know, sort of towards the back end of the journey. I wasn't really in full journey anymore. And I thought, yeah, you know what, I'm going to make it back to my room. It was very plush where we was, actually, then. And I thought, I'll make it back to my room. So I made it back to my room. I lay on my bed, right? And this is, we're going off the deep end now, right? And then what happened was I was sort of like almost trying to sort of sleep, but still in journey, dreamy mode a little bit. And then I looked up, like literally, like physically opened my eyes, and there was a woman in energetic form that had got me erect and was riding my penis, having sex with me. Like an energetic form of a woman riding me, like long dark hair. And like I could feel it. Like I was literally, she was having sex with me, and it felt like as real as any other sex I'd had. Like I could feel her riding my penis. And of course, I'm in this like altered state, but coming down from an altered state. And she's, you know, really, really riding me and reading and what's it like this. And I even say to her, like, I don't know what I said to her out loud or in my mind, or what, like, slow down. And she's like, no, I want you to come in me. And she's riding me until I come. And then I come, and then she's like, like that. And then she just vanishes like that. And then I just drift back and just like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Like, I knew, I was aware enough to know that I wasn't tripping and having a wank. I wasn't masturbating. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't like in such a state that I was in, like, I was feeling a bit horny and let me just visualize a woman. And because like I'm out of it, it feels a bit like it. No, I'm telling you now, wow. I'm absolutely telling you, you know, as mad as it might sound, and obviously it sounds absolutely insane. This was an energetic being of a woman literally having physical sex with me. Like it was, do you know what?
Yeah. How did you make sense of it then after that? Like,
I didn't.
Did you
I
recognize her or like, what, no, is it like I, a familiar?
I couldn't recognize her. I couldn't make sense of it because I didn't know what it meant or anything. Like I didn't. And then the next day, so I said to Mr. Smith, like, we have a little share circle. I said, this is what happened. And he's like, man, you had this ceremony, you know, your third ceremony was experiencing everything time and back, and then now, like, you've got some sort of alien or, you know, energetic form or what have you. And he didn't really know, like, he didn't really give any answers. But you know what? It happened again the next night. Oh, wow. Next night in ceremony five, it happened again.
Was it the same form or a different one?
The same form, the same. Oh, wow. It wasn't like I'm looking at you, I can see you, you know, clearly. It was an energetic form, but enough to see that it was a woman with breasts and a flat stomach and, like, literally riding my penis. and I'm lying there. My hands are not on my penis. I'm not, like I say, I'm not lost in my mind masturbating or anything weird like that. I'm not off my face. I'm very aware, but just off the back of an ayahuasca session. Yeah, and it happened the next night, the fifth ceremony, almost as sort of like as a little reminder, you know, a little like, yeah, that was real, you know. So wow. I don't know to this day what that meant, like, consciously in any way, shape or form. But I'm telling you, on my four-year-old daughter's life, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, wow. that happened. That's why I said, when I said that to Chris, he's like, dude, man, like, that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. You know, it's like, so I don't know what that was. But all I can say is this, all I can think of it is this, right, is it was a feminine spirit having sex with me. Ayahuasca's a feminine spirit. I don't know. I don't know whether there was a healing needed for me ejaculating. There was a healing needed for me in intimacy, in affection, in lovemaking. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was a real, honestly, a real, real clear. And the thing is, it wasn't like in peak ayahuasca. I've gone back to my room both nights. Like the ceremony was dwindling down. You know, I was coming back down. So, yeah, that's you know, almost in many ways, one of the most bizarre experiences I've had, because it was such a literally, you know, a feminine spirit energy woman having sex with me, and it's literally proper sex. It's like, what the fuck, you know?
Have you ever come into contact, like through your ayahuasca trips, have you come into contact with different beings and aliens? Or the last question I do want to ask too is, do you think that ayahuasca could open up portals to negative energies?
That's a great question.
To like attach to you. Cause you know, you had mentioned like you've had a couple of experiences with these shamans and they're like ripping out these reptiles from you. And maybe those reptiles are clinging onto you in a different dimension.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good one. What was the first part of that question?
The first part was, have you ever come into contact with different
aliens and stuff
aliens
like that?
Yeah. Beings and entities. I know Terrence McKenna, he talks about the DMT elves.
Mm. Yeah, it's a funny one to answer that, because it's like, yes, but perhaps not in the way we might visualize them or think of them. I mean, it seems like when you're going on these journeys that, you know, like I say, for example, the anaconda, the boa constrictor example, you know, it's very bizarre. Let me make sure I keep on track. Bizarre sort of experience, but you wouldn't call that like an alien or something. But I mean, what the hell's going on there? So it's not like, however, do you know, there was in that first ceremony, a little piece that I missed in that first ceremony in Brazil, there was a very powerful experience actually going inside my brain. Like, so what felt like a reptile, it actually felt like a classic, almost like gray element reptile. But, you know, once you understand how things work, it might be forming like that for you to just say, oh, that's a fucking classic extraterrestrial. But just so you get the message that it's not you, but it doesn't mean to say it is actually a gray little alien. It's just showing itself like that so that you know, oh, that's not you. You know, it's definitely different, something different. And that it's sort of directed and sent sort of, like a field of light or a beam into the front of my lobes and then into my brain. And then I, the Chris, was in that brain cell, was in that lobe. Now, I don't know if I told you this on the first, the first one, where that's where I saw this, like, you know, brainwave activity, these changes in these brainwaves. And then, you know, a few years later, measuring the brainwaves and seeing the gamma. And it was that sort of same situation, that same sort of image. So, yeah, the alien thing, yes, but I think not in the way we think of it, in think of aliens. But in the other aspect about the negative energies and stuff, yeah, it's a really good question, that. And I think, you know what? I think in general, when you open yourself up beyond the physical body, when you expand your consciousness beyond the physical body, you are then moving into different realms, different rules, different energies, different beings, different forms, different, you know, intelligences and stuff. Do they want to have a little dabble with you? Maybe some do. Maybe some put a little dodgy virus in the system. Maybe some mess you up a little bit with some dodgy incoherent fields, but maybe some really love you and just balance you and harmonize you and heal you and, you know, give you amazing strength. My personal view is you'll only pick that stuff up if you've got a lot of work to do inside and you're hurting and you're pain and you're in trauma and your field's incoherent. You know, if you're coming from the right, even if you've had a rough time, and but if you're coming from the right reasons and you're coming with an open heart to heal, I think ayahuasca will look after you just fine. I don't think you've got to worry about any of that negative stuff. You know, if your intentions are pure and you give yourself to the spirit of the plant will look after you. It will never hurt you. That's my thought on that.
Well, we are wrapping up. I know that last time we asked you what was one song that penetrated your soul, but I think maybe we should add that Divine Angels to our playlist. What was that song again?
I Believe in Angels, Nana Mastouri. Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay. Beautiful voice. It's beautiful, yeah.
Okay, yeah. We will add that to the playlist. And for our listeners, where can people find you?
Usual socials, Gamma Mindset, G-A-M-M-A, Gamma Mindset. There's a free masterclass on my website. There's lots of free cool stuff there. That's probably the easiest, but I am on all the socials. I'm not a big communicator on the socials, but you'll find me on there. GammaMindset.com is probably the place to go.
And then for our listeners, do you want to leave them with some final words?
Pressure's on, pressure's on. But you know what? I think the final words are, you know, if you feel the calling to explore yourself and to explore who you are beyond the physicalness of your being, then plant medicines can be exceptionally powerful, healing, nurturing, expansive. They can really make you grow and develop and, you know, really start to move to fulfilling your potential. So I highly recommend them. But as I said at the start, you know, this is about growth and development and not necessarily entertainment. So make sure that if you feel the calling for that, that you do it with the right people in the right place. And the most of all, you feel safe and secure, not half safe, not I think I'll be all right, but you feel safe and secure. And then you can really do some good healing work. But plant medicines, and particularly, I mean, we've talked about ayahuasca in this all the time. So ayahuasca in itself is an exceptionally powerful healing spirit, and one that I highly, highly recommend.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you so much for coming back on.
Absolute pleasure. Listen, we should do another one at some stage. Yeah. We should do the iboga and the psilocybin and the isolation tanks and the DMT. We should do all that another time.
For sure. There's so many things to get into.
Absolutely.
Listen, thank it's you. Been a pleasure. I really enjoyed the first one. I've enjoyed the second one as much. It's very difficult when you're in my sort of shoes to think, is this boring the shit off people?
It's not.
Does it sound
at
like
all.
A madman?
No.
Does it sound like it a madman? Like, or, you know,
when we listen to it, it's like I'm placing myself into that experience and trying to like conceptualize it in the same way as I'm listening. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Beautiful. I feel like you tell the stories in such a visual captivating way that I feel like I'm experiencing it. And so I think for our listeners that are listening, they're going to feel the same way.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's great to know. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really, really enjoyed myself. Thanks again for inviting me back.
Level complete. Hit subscribe, like, and leave a review for future simulations.